Some of our landings were desperate adventures. We are now prepared to meet the inevitable counterattacks with power and with confidence.
Little Calva, I'll soon birth thee anew, a sweeting, fresh, and pure.
My name is Gary Butterfield.
My name is Cole Ross.
You're listening to Bonfireside Chat, imprisoned in a giant library, living the dream, favorite.
Yeah, and our sweetings, we are talking about the remainder of the Raya Lucaria Academy. Last time we had ventured in, you know, to the first parts. We had checked out the Cuckoo Church. We went through the school building, put down the Red Wolf of Radigan, tragically. And now we are headed toward the Great Library, the largest building at the top there, where Queen Rinala is being held with her shard of the Elden Ring.
Do not worry, Radagon has backups. That boss will just show up.
Yeah, so it's out in Gen Pop.
Yep. Little reminder, after Raya Lucaria, the spoiler wall is going down. We'll be talking mm-hmm. about whatever we like. And keep an eye out on the Patreon for a post asking for your responses to Liurnia of the Lakes and surrounding immediate areas.
Mm-hmm.
So we exit the debate parlor last time. This takes us to our quad, this large outdoor kind of courtyard. Mm-hmm. There's a fountain in the center. There are crabs. There are nobles uh-huh. digging through the dirt here, picking flowers, basically.
Yeah. Yeah. I just like that they're giving the nobles busy work. Like, I don't know. Maybe just dig there if you want to.
Yeah, got to learn about digging someday.
If there's time to lean, there's time to dig a hole. Yeah. Time to dig a hole and fill it.
Yep, exactly. And if you go too far, out of the corner, out of this weird, funny little cubby, rolls up an abductor virgin.
Mm-hmm. They're just in case any of those nobles decide they're too big for digging.
Yeah, they get sucked into the Paschetti. We talked about this thing before. You don't have to fight it.
Nope.
And it is difficult. Yeah. And when I found out it respawned, I lost my mind.
Mm-hmm.
I was like, that didn't seem right.
No, you can't do that. Yeah. You can't just move lunch. If you're playing fast and loose with where you're running, it is possible that as you are fleeing from this abductor virgin, you will step onto the spawn point for a large for a large buried crab.
Yeah, crab daddy.
Yeah. And you have doubled your trouble and doubled your fun.
Yes. When you double the crabs, you double the fun.
Yeah.
There's a Western stairway that takes us to a bunch of casters and nobles. This looks like the casters are overseeing the nobles.
Yeah. It looks like they're giving a little pep talk.
Yeah. Cause they're up on a raised kind of dais. They're doing a Vita stuff at them. And the nobles are down here digging through the gunk.
Yeah.
Just on the ground doing their animation of like searching for stuff.
Yeah. Maybe they lost their contacts. This is pretty tough because, again, you remember from last episode, these sorcerers, once they start shooting at you, they shoot rapid fire and kind of don't stop.
Yeah. If you go up and go behind yourself when you leave here, you get a tiny little landing that's full of pots.
Mm-hmm.
This is where the baby pots are.
Yeah.
It's like where the big one came and laid its clutch.
glistening clutch of just little Coke cans and then one day.
Like a little tiny those ball cocktails they sell at gas stations.
Oh yeah. But you can smash those up. There's a caster here kind of presiding over them. No idea what this little scene is. But if you go past the Evita sorcerers here, the ones who are holding court, you can jump over a doorway and get back and open up a little or jump over a railway and open up one of the more useless doors you can open here out to the courtyard. If you head the other way, don't open the courtyard. You can jump off onto the rooftops. you know, I think pretty much all of the legacy dungeons have one of these sections. There was one in Stormvale. There's definitely going to be one, an extended one in Laendell, where you're up on those rooftops doing rooftop parkour to get to hidden rooftop areas.
Yeah. Embarrassingly, I didn't get this on my first run through. Game. I found out New Game Plus, or not New Game Plus, my second run through as a sorcerer, where I was going through and just finding everything I missed.
Yeah.
My completionist run through. Mm-hmm. I had seen reference to other stuff that I knew that I missed in the academy. I just was, on the first playthrough, I was eager to see more stuff.
Yeah.
You know, when you're in
When you're in the chapel, you can look up and see loot on top of the on top of the chandeliers. Yeah. Right.
I knew it was there. It was just I didn't know how to get there and I wanted to move on.
But
this is cool. You go through these roofs and it's full of these Avonyet soldiers that kind of swoop at you, and bowman marionette mm-hmm. things. We talked about these things. They are very aggressive. They're real stutter stop and come at you and are a pain. There's also one of those rogue guys up here, a page.
Oh, yeah, yeah.
Guy. And he's at the position of this hallway, at the end of this hallway, that is lined with these avionettes mm-hmm. there, which is really tricky.
Yeah, it's rough. Yeah, those pages, they've got the rapiers. Yeah, almost kind of like a stand-in for a Baldur Knight from Dark Souls 1, to a degree.
With the crossbow.
But with the crossbow,
they attack from a distance, so you can't close distance on him without getting the avionettes.
Yeah,
swooping down behind you. Mm-hmm. So cool little encounter.
Yeah. But you work over to the top of the chapel here. When you're going around the side, you find a very important item, the imbued stone sword key. This is going to be useful later. The description mentions the belfries. We're going to talk about this on the way to the Carrion Royal Manor.
Yeah, it makes sense to be here. It's nearby.
Yeah.
And you want to get this as well, because then you can go to all of them. Yeah. They make you choose some of them.
Mm-hmm.
When you get there, you only get one key for free. The rest of them you have to find out in the world. Mm-hmm. You venture around the building. There's a place where you can climb down into the storeroom that has been overtaken by crabs. Happens to the best of us. There's a dead body in here. They're eating, and they're all these bags of flour. They had to keep the food somewhere. I like how they had to go do a fun little rooftop adventure to get it.
Yep.
I just don't go there. It's crabbed. It's crabbed.
Yep. Flowers crabbed. Shit. Yeah. I like how these crabs are just kind of munching out of them, breading themselves from the inside. Don't do the work, bud.
Yeah. The crab content in this game is incredible. And it's largely through giving them a tiny little cute eating animation. Yeah. You know, like, we've had crabs before, but they just felt like shitty enemies in Dark Souls 3 to me. Now they're adorable. You know? They scavenge. And then later you can find the forbidden crab boil with the forbidden crabs, which I absolutely love it.
I love how the itty bitty crabs, you want to call them tiny, but they're the size of toddlers.
Size of frisbees.
but they're not aggressive. Even the ones that are overtaken by crystals, you're gonna kill them with tears in your eyes because you want to get their drops, the crystal ones, but they aren't aggressive. If you kill them, it's on you. And there are almost always messages left nearby, like, don't you dare, you don't have the right, here, friend. Yeah. All of that.
Yeah. Unless there's a big daddy crab.
No, yeah.
Our goal here is to go to the top windows of that chapel where we started. You go through some windows and get in the rafters up here. And this is where we find a body that has an Academy Glintstone key. This is really interesting. The body is not a sorcerer. It's a noble that's holding this. Again, friend of the show, the lore hunter, talked about how this was maybe somebody trying to steal a key to get out. Like, maybe they got trapped when the walls went up.
Mm-hmm.
Which is a cool idea.
Yeah.
And fell to their death.
And they never got a chance to use it, right?
Yes.
Because they fell to their death before they could get to the glyphs. Yeah.
Yeah. So we can still give it to Tops. Mm-hmm. We talked about that before when we talked about Tops. We give that to him. We'll find him at a desk outside of the classroom by the mining zone.
Yeah.
Where we can get his gear and we can get his barrier, which makes fun of him. Then with the same thing where his bell bearing talks about him being good.
Mm-hmm.
You know, the barrier says the lifelong pursuit of a bluntstone, and then there's the bell bearing, I think, that says that, like, if the fools of the academy weren't such shits, this would have been its own prospectus.
Yes,
like, this is a unique sorcery, nobody else can do this.
Mm-hmm.
You know,
so. Top's got a raw deal. I have no idea what killed him there. Maybe he should have tried studying indoors.
It seems like, I don't think there's a lot of safe places to study.
Probably, yeah.
You know, the mixed up files of Topps Frankenweiler or whatever, yeah, trying to stay here overnight and like study in secret.
Yeah. Well, difficult. I mean, maybe some of those other sorcerers hazed him. And by hazed him, I mean, walked up behind him and shaked him like it was Oz.
Yeah. Hit him by a haze ray.
Yeah.
The haze of the stars. We can find the Shattering Crystal spell here as well. This gives you this little shotgun blast of shards, and it's a Crystallian sorcery.
Yeah.
We talked about these guys being teachers. They're revered guests of the sorcerers. There is the people who study the wisdom of stone, like Preceptor Miriam.
Yeah.
People who study the Crystallian sorceries.
Yes. Crystallians, a little bit more information on them here. They cleave close to the ideals of the primeval current, and as such, they're revered guests of the sorcerers. Again, a little bit of hypocrisy here. Any human who studies primeval stuff run out of the place, whereas these inorganic beings, which as far as I can tell cannot talk, they're alien. If they can borrow their power, they will bring them in and study them and stuff.
The Crystallians are so funny because, like, the idea that they have this dim intelligence, you know, they're these idiot chaoses things.
Yeah.
But, like, they can't talk, but they can do tiny little hops and poke with a spear. Like, it's so weird to just learn that.
Yeah. Stab me, like, once for yes and twice for no.
Like, I learned everything I learned about how to operate in the world, I learned from a wind-up toy. You know, it's very funny to me, these guys. Yeah. And they end up everywhere. As a thing, and they can get like a tilapia, they can take on the flavors that are around them. They can become rot pilled.
Love these guys. Oh, lanky bastards. Not so lanky. No. There's a walkway here again at the top of the chapel, where we can get over to this to this adjoining tower. This is guarded by a high page enemy. We talked about these guys. They hit really hard. Seems really intent on guarding what is here, and will use Carrion spells to enforce itself. Mm-hmm. What it is guarding is another one of these Graven Maid schools.
Yep. Also locked away.
Yeah.
You know, the air here has these little starlight motes floating in it. This like awesome, almost spore, like corruption that comes off. This dead guy that we can find, kind of encased in glintstone. We can get the Azur's Glintstone staff nearby. Big deal.
Mm-hmm.
You know, increases casting speed greatly. Staff of the primeval Glintstone sorcerer Azur. Only those who have glimpsed what lies beyond the wisdom of stone may wield it.
Which means that is intelligence 50.
Yeah, high stat requirements. Yeah. I do not know why Azur left this behind, because we will find Azur.
We will.
Later.
Yeah, maybe they kicked him out before he could gather his things.
Yeah, you have 5 minutes. Here's a box. So we can kick a ladder down to the church, making a shortcut you'll never use, but you know, who knows?
Yeah.
Or you can go outside the tower and drop down.
Mm-hmm.
Outside, this is where you find this crystal encrusted crab who's vibing in that corner down there.
Yeah.
And you kill it, we get the glintstone crown.
Yeah. All of these crystal guys are pinatas for different glintstone stuff.
Yeah. Clearly they ate the crown.
Yep.
They ate the sorcerer who had it. These, we talked about these last episode. These are all based on the different headmasters of the different schools of magic there. And they all, to kind of show mechanically that they are not on the up and up, raise your intelligence at the detriment to other things. Whereas things not associated with the academy tend not to have that trade-off.
Yeah. So back to the courtyard. We've done all we can here at the chapel, I believe. Back there, where we want to go is north. Everything that is up is in that direction. However, there is no direct path from the ground here. Instead, we have to do kind of an Andor Orlando thing and run across a buttress. We have to get over to this sweeping stairway that is kind of curving down from that building, but is broken off at the bottom.
Yes. And on the stairway, they use a portal to teleport a large boulder on top of the stairs that rolls perfectly down the stairs towards you. Incredibly video gamey.
Yeah.
Just how pitfall of you to do this, Raya Lucaria. Also weird, because this is just a big steel ball. I really was disappointed when we found the much cooler giant steel balls later, which have an explanation behind them. These are just big cartoon video game balls.
Yeah, this is on loan from the Sens Fortress collection. Yeah, you can't you can't kill these guys. They cannot roll around on their own. It is not Marble Madness the movie.
Yeah. Well, even those things, the ones in Sens Fortress, you can see the giant who's grabbing them from a big pile.
Yeah.
Like they have a stockpile. These ones just get magically teleported in through from a realm. just to go down the stairs and do, again, this very video game ass thing.
Yeah. The thing that is unexpected about this is that it's not just one. They come periodically as long as you're standing on the stairway.
Yes. Yeah. They'll keep sending them at you. You can dodge it. You can jump off the side onto a little, crumbled buttress, doing the thing where, like, similar to what we're going to do in the Heroes Graves tons.
Yeah.
Where something is going down a path and we duck into a side thing. Mm-hmm. We get up here. This northern building is mostly locked up. We can't get through most of it, but there's a way gate that goes to the Church of Vows. This makes sense. They talked about how Radagon, after the divorce, came there and cleansed it, or before the wedding, cleansed himself of the sin of warring with Renala before he married her.
Yeah. And if this was the symbol, the great seat of power for the realm of Liurnia, this is where Renala would be hanging around. She was headmistress, her having a shortcut to get to that place for the wedding. What's she going to do? Walk? No.
Yeah. I can't let that giant lobster see my wedding dress. It's bad luck. No lobster can see you in a wedding dress.
Yeah, that's why you can't get married at a Red Lobster, no matter how much you pay them.
People get married at Cape Cod, but it doesn't take. So it just doesn't stick. But that's dark. I have friends who got married there and they're doing good. So they don't listen.
Of all the things you say, that's the one that makes you say, "Now I gotta take that back."
Well, it's because it's a personal.
Oh, okay.
Like I don't like imagining a guy who can be hurt by something.
Okay,
but if I know somebody who can be,
gotcha.
That feels like the appropriate amount of effort.
Okay,
on my hell, I don't have to make up a guy. Just get sad.
It's just funny.
Yeah. So we can instead of doing this, we leave and go to the opposite side of this northern building here. There's this little elevator courtyard where there's Moongrum.
Hey, Moongrum.
Hello. It was quite good.
You're
studying sorcery with you.
You're referring to Grum, the CGI monstrosity that is invoked several times in Tim and Eric.
Yes, this is a moon version of that. It's a Carrion Knight.
Yeah.
Makes sense for him to be here in terms of what he's guarding. Makes less sense that he's allowed to be here, because when the Carrion Knight was there previously, the armor was there. It made sense because we didn't know where the timeline was.
Yeah.
But Caria and the Academy do not currently get along.
No.
Yeah.
No idea. I don't know why he's allowed. It is possible that he is just holding his own.
Yeah. Exactly. He's doing a Sparta.
Yeah. Because I didn't realize this, when we were talking about the Carrion Knights, you don't really I don't know that we've seen an operative one running around in this armor right here. There were only 20 of them.
Yeah. It's Navy SEALs.
Yes. Ooh. But they said, even one was a match for, the golden regiments, right?
Yeah. Yeah. Super soldiers. Mm-hmm. He attacks with the Carrion Piercer, which is a spell that summons a sword, and his shield has the Carrion Retaliation skill on it. So he can parry magic.
Yeah.
Which is real cool. Sends it back to you as a Glenstone shard.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. So my throwing stick boomeranged on me.
If you're having trouble with him, go to the elevator and he will jump off it.
Ooh, fun.
He's sick of his duty and he'll kill himself. which I didn't do on purpose. I was just going to heal, but he did that the first time. I fought him the second time, but the first time he's just like, my planet needs me, I'm out. Fuck this. Hit the bricks.
Maybe that's where he lives. He just went down there. He's just saying, I'm tired. I need a nap.
He's going to take a nap.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Going down to worship St. Trina.
Yeah. He's going to go, he's going to go watch Top Gun. the left path of this goes to this balcony. And there are two paths off of that.
Yes. If you go straight, you're going to unlock the quickest way for the boss run. It is just a shortcut back to the courtyard. However, yes. You know, the closest grace to the Great Library is the debate parlor. So if you end up dying to Renala, which you probably will on the opening of the second phase, your run is going to be dodging sorceries as you weave through up this path that you unlock here.
It's pretty obnoxious.
Yeah.
You know, I don't think Renala is a super hard boss fight, but it did take me a couple tries to learn it.
Yeah.
And I ended up doing this boss run a lot.
Mm-hmm.
If you go left from here, you can jump over a ledge and reach one of the locked rooms in that northern building. A stairway there will take you upstairs. That is where the boulder trap is run, where they're opening the portal to the boulder realm and dropping it.
I love that this is like, this isn't some kind of like elaborate mechanism that they've made, that the never ending font of boulders is just run by some guys.
Yeah. Yeah. It's they're sorcerers who summon it. And then they have a pumpkin head in their service who pushes it out.
Yes. And they'll all attack you. This is tricky because there's a sorcerer chilling behind the ladder. So if you rush forward, he's going to start attacking you from the back. So watch out for that. This was the pumpkin head that I got to drop the pumpkin helm. I know we talked about the pumpkin heads, but just low key, like I love how blasé the descriptions are for them in relation to how horrifying their fate is. The inside of the helm is pitch black, keeping the crazed warrior within from panicking. Perhaps its rather roomy interior also helps alleviate feelings of pressure and claustrophobia.
It's from a catalog that sells them.
Yeah.
That is the most, that is the item description that has the most hustle that we've run into. This is not a guaranteed drop. Yeah. Here. And one of the things that I find, I guess mildly frustrating, this is not a serious complaint, but there are lore bits like creatures that you cannot really find out about without getting their drops.
Yes.
And their drops are not guaranteed. So you talked about the stone-headed guys in Volcano Manor.
Mm-hmm.
There may be more because I haven't done like my refresh for that area yet, because we're not talking about it yet, and I want stuff to be fresh in my memory. But on my first playthrough, I also didn't know what they were. On my second playthrough, one of them dropped their heads, and I like learned about them.
Yeah.
You know, so it is a little bit catch as catch can. Obviously, that doesn't matter with the internet. Like, I can just look up whatever I want. But in terms of, you know, there is a difference in experience between looking something up on the wiki and then like fighting a guy, having him drop something, and then picking it up and seeing what that was about.
Yeah,
what the fuck was that about?
Yeah, what's like, that guy's? What's this guy's whole deal?
Yeah. The fact that the pumpkin heads—that's where we get most of our pumpkin head info—is from this helmet that you may not get.
Yeah.
A little bit of a bummer.
Yeah. So the way forward is to go back down to the first floor into Moongrum's domain, and go up the elevator that is above his little crash pad.
Yes, putting an elevator as part of a boss run should be illegal. This goes up to the Great Library gates in a big, conspicuously empty courtyard.
Yep.
I was really looking for stuff around here and expecting stuff. But it's okay because you are rewarded when you go in. You're introduced to one of my favorite boss arenas and from history. If not my favorite, it's pretty hard to fuck with Rikard's zone.
Hard to fuck with Old Monk.
Old Monk is also very good. This reminds me of that in a great way. It's this huge round chamber. It's lined and littered with books. Yeah. There are books on everything, but books have spilled out of the shelves and have fallen down into piles on the ground. Like, books no longer exist as an individual object. You know, they're just it's leaves.
It's book by the cubic foot.
Exactly. Yeah. And as you walk forward, you get a cutscene.
Yeah.
And this cutscene is so fucking good.
It's really good. So the chamber is darker than you think it's going to be. You know, you step in and your character stops because there's something at his feet. He looks down and sees, from the top, okay, there's this crawling figure with a robe, with a gown and mortarboard on, graduation stuff, scholar stuff.
Yeah. Do you think it would change the tenor of the scene if there was a tray of hors d'oeuvres on that hat? Like, and she was trying to give you a canapé?
I mean, there would be a certain amount of, cruelty if there was just, you know, some pigs in a blanket on top of that thing. And when you went to reach for it, that's when it snapped at your foot. But this, so you're looking at this, and it's a little guy. This is one of the Sweetings. And before you even see its face, it just very animatedly, like a little kid almost, does like a, like chomps at your feet, like to play with you, and then looks up and smiles. And we see that it's a youthful, fucked up little guy.
Yeah. I read them as ladies.
Okay.
I don't know if that's, you know, who knows?
Yeah.
It is hard for me, you know, when you talk about these moments in Elden Ring that just like stick with me, mm-hmm. that, are kind of irregardless of text, right? So like,
yeah.
turning the corner and seeing the giant skeleton, I'm just like, yep, my shit. The look that she gives you, the smile is so well animated and good.
Mm-hmm.
It's so creepy and blank and innocent and yeah. just kind of like, like they're really sell through that animation, the horrific idiot bliss of being in the situation that these things are in.
I believe the meme says no thoughts, head empty.
Yes. And they are happy.
Mm-hmm.
You know, it's really good. It's a deep horror that happens with this. Yeah. I adore it. And it invokes the goopy scholars from Bloodborne, mm-hmm. who I love. A mortar board is a great enemy accessory. You don't see it very often. So this happens, and then the chamber fills with the sounds of identical like giggles. Like they're all giggling at you.
Yeah.
Awesome.
Yeah.
The candles all light up. Awesome. And we get mm-hmm. to see that there are just like tons and tons of scholars holding these candelabras and crawling towards you.
Mm-hmm. This segue from cutscene to, oh, these things are actually going to attack me, is preternaturally smooth.
Yes.
This is one of the times where the quality of the graphics and the quality of the cinematography, you know, made me think like, okay, so the cutscene is going to continue. Oh, suddenly I'm controlling what's happening. Oh, they're coming at me. Oh, they're casting. Oh, they're telekinetically lifting stuff. Like I'm in the middle of the shit.
Yeah, it's really good.
Yeah.
So in the middle of them.
Yeah. Oh God, this is great too. I love yep. Renala's whole deal.
Yep. Renala floats down from the center here. This is the Renala, the Queen of the Moonlight. This very tall robed figure sitting in a tiny cradle wearing a silly moon shaped hat. This design very clearly to me feels Bayonetta.
Yes.
Inspired. And then when we go into the second phase, which I'll talk about, that is like the most Bayonetta thing I've ever seen in my life.
Yeah, you are there specifically to demonstrate what you've learned in your moon jujitsu class.
Yes. But here where it's not, you know, this magical girl anime opening,
mm-hmm.
And is creepy, this works for me so fucking well.
Yeah.
Like here comes teacher. You know,
I mean, just floating. I mean, she's just extremely tall, right? She mm-hmm. she is a giant person, but her robes even obscure some of that. I love that she is sitting in this this cradle. You know, she has taken it herself, and I mean, to a certain extent, her affect, her affect matches that. Like she has regressed in this, and that's revealed when she's talking. You know, she has this very childlike, I'm taking care of my baby doll kind of doting going on to her, because she is clutching the amber egg, which we have only heard about, but now we are getting a sense of exactly how fucked up it is. We see that it is this irregularly shaped translucent amber shell. There are bubbles floating around inside, but most of the space is taken up by what appears to be a geometric crystal mass.
Yes. This is the egg. It is also the great rune.
Mm-hmm.
I do not know why it is an egg.
Yeah.
You know, we talked about that when we talked about rebirth a little bit. This is all stuff I'm kind of unclear on, other than just the fact that it looks badass.
Mm-hmm.
She has really regressed though. She got broken, you know, and then mm-hmm. they talked about this, like during the divorce, Radagon took her heart. They realized she was no champion. It's because she went fucking nuts and became an addict stooge. Like she's up here just continuously. Like she's talking, you know, when she comes down, you don't know who she's talking to exactly.
Mm-hmm.
It seems a little bit like she's talking to the egg, but she's also kind of talking to you and kind of talking to the little kids,
or
the students. She says, hush, little Culver, I'll soon birth thee anew, a sweeting fresh and pure. She's doing this compulsively.
Yes.
Rebirthing and rebirthing these students. Mm-hmm. And the students, we're going to find this out later, but it's cool to have the context for the fight. This is an imperfect rebirth. We talked about that a couple episodes ago, how you have to have the egg to have re-perfect birth or have perfect birth, but it has to be in your possession, not in the possession of the person next to you. Like, all that stuff, put that aside. What's cool is the horror of these things going, like being reborn feels like sleep to them, and it's not taking, and they are just, they keep forgetting.
Yeah.
So everyone is this kind of like 2-day-old idiot here who is just going through the motions. Like, it's really horrific and good.
And she is caught in this addictive cycle, compulsively doing this with a captive audience who is growing less and less able to comprehend what she is putting them through. And
so much so that they like it. Like, again, they empty head, like the smile on their face, like,
And this is that this is all a result of Radigan just deciding one day to leave. Right.
Yeah.
You know, like, just it broke her. You can tell that she is, you know, it feels too obvious to say, but it bears, you know, I feel like it bears saying, which is she had hopes. She had hopes of having a family. She thought she had envisioned this life, and it was taken from her for basically no reason.
She had a couple, she spit out some kids. One of them was a Reichard. You know, it's not great. She has the one in a very, you know, one of the things we talked about that makes Elden Ring feel unique is this focus on family dynamics in a different flavor than FromSoft has done. This feels like George R. R. Martin stuff to me. So obviously family dynamics, part of the Gwyn lineage, right? And there's drama and messy stuff. This is much more down to earth. She has kids and one of them takes care of her.
Yeah.
Like, the other ones went off and don't care. That's really real. Like, this just feels very like she's this idiot god, basically, you know, living in this, trapped in this library, doing this incredibly profound, arcane thing over and over poorly. And her daughter still cares about her and still checks in on her.
Yeah. And, you know, steps in on her behalf. We're going to see in phase two of this.
Yes.
The relationship between Ronnie and her, like, I don't know. I like Ronnie an awful lot.
Me too. Ronnie is like, there's a lot of fun to be taught, you know, had about Alexander Jarbjarn. Rygard is incredible and everything. I think that Ronnie is probably undeniably, the best character in this game to me. And I would watch a prequel animated series that was her, Blade, and EG just going around solving mysteries or going to the food cart talking about boys. I don't care.
Figuring out how to do what she ended up doing with her body.
Yeah. Right? Better call Ronnie. Like, give it to me.
Please.
We have tons of cool fight stuff, though, to talk about. The fight begins. The fight is very video gamey.
Yes.
So that is kind of a bummer. But I don't care because the presentation is like my favorite thing in the world.
Yes.
She floats in this, like, she has a yellow sphere. You can't damage her here. And she will project to the Sweetings, having this also this kind of like glowing sphere around them.
Yes.
So you have to take out the Sweetings that are maintaining her shield, which, again, the most generic video game ass thing I've ever said, to make her vulnerable. Yeah. The thing that makes it cool is while this is happening, you're fighting Fantasia.
Yep.
Like, it is fighting an animate The Sorcerer's Apprentice sequence.
Yep.
It's so fucking good.
Yeah. Like,
I just, the whole room is against you.
It's incredibly chaotic because each of these Sweetings, you know, they have their magical ability. They can, you know, pick up stuff and throw it at you. Pick up these books telekinetically. You know, you'll walk by these candelabras and they'll be charged with arcane energy. You know, it's like Gambit charged them so they would explode when you walk by, right?
Yeah, yeah, yeah. And they'll pull down chandeliers.
Yes.
That this does the most damage that can happen to you. And there's a cool warning, like you see rubble start to come down.
Yeah.
But nobody like raises their hand and does that.
Mm-hmm.
Like the whole, it's like fighting a library.
Yeah.
Like the whole thing is against you. It's really neat.
Renala, you know, insofar as she takes an active role in this, occasionally she will say it is time for rebirth, right? And mm-hmm. she will pick a few of the sweetings and then float them up in the air. And then part of this life cycle is she will turn them into gravestones, right? Mm-hmm. And then shoot them at you.
Really good. Great stuff. She has a beam she shoots as well, which is really devastating.
Yeah.
That I get blindsided by because I'm looking at other stuff.
Yeah.
You know, there's a lot to pay attention to in this fight. Nothing does that much damage.
Right, right. It's all nickel and dime.
Yeah. But that will do a lot of damage. That and the chandelier.
Yeah.
Crashing on you will do quite a bit of damage.
Yeah. But when you destroy three of the glowing sweetings, that is when her yellow shield cracks, kind of the big moon that she's floating around in, and she will fall to the ground. And then she is vulnerable to your attacks until the sweetings can get the shield back online. You know,
well, she blows up. She does an AOE, starts charging her shield back up. Mm-hmm. So she's vulnerable until she explodes and rebirths the shield.
Yes.
There. So you again, very video gamey. Mm-hmm. Typically, every time I've fought her, you can do about half her life bar.
Yeah.
In one of these, like, she's not very strong to physical attacks.
Yeah. Two, maybe three rounds is what you're going to go. Yeah.
Yeah. And depends on how far you want to push it.
Yes.
You know, in terms of playing chicken with the explosion here. Early on, when I first fought this, while I was figuring it out, like, again, it's very video gamey, but there's a lot to pay attention to. It's a big arena.
Mm-hmm.
Before I, you know, and it's going to make me sound like an idiot. It didn't take me like 6 days. I thought on it and then I decided to glow hit the glowing enemy. Couple of minutes. Mm-hmm. I was running around the periphery trying to check out the arena, see what to do.
Yeah.
And I knew I couldn't damage Renala. I tried to hit her with arrows, didn't work. And from that point of view, I couldn't see a glowing sweeting. Mm-hmm. So a bunch of people left messages on the sides of the library. There are little areas that look like you can crawl into. And I didn't know where the sweetings were coming from at that point. I hadn't seen them fall from the sky. So I thought they were crawling out of the walls like in Left 4 Dead or from Doom 3 or whatever.
Okay.
Or that I had to crawl and get into one of these things and, like, you know, go attack a fool's idol. Like,
yeah,
you know, go do something else to as the gimmick.
Mm-hmm.
It was neat. Like, it was a really exploratory experience with this first phase.
My learning process with the first phase was some of the sweetings have the regular mortar boards. Some of the sweetings have very tall ones. Which is weird, but you can see like there's the cap, the flat cap is raised up by like what appears to be like a cylinder of hair and hat. So I thought, okay, I need to kill those. This was specifically because all of the glowing ones ended up on the outside, because there's the center area, you know, inside of the shelves that are there, but there are the little annexes, you know, little spokes off of the center of the wheel there, where some of these can be as well. That's why I didn't notice the glowing kill this guy circle.
Yeah. Yeah. And we both eventually got it.
Yeah.
It's not like it's hard. You know, we just figured it out. It just took a second. It was a cool part of the experience.
Mm-hmm.
When you beat her, there we get a little cutscene of her crawling across the floor, trying to get back to the egg. The egg's in the cradle and she's crawling towards it.
Yeah. Saying, oh, I will be there soon. Do not worry. You will be countless born forever and ever, which is a thing that a healthy person says.
Yeah. I love to rebirth this Munchausen by magic. And then it just really, really cool thing happens here. Smoke starts billowing from the ground, forming this cloud. And we get to see a clone of Renala that appears here. And in a difficult thing with how this game uses alternate identities, right?
Yeah.
So this is Ronnie. We talked about Ronnie a lot, who appears here. The last time we met Ronnie, she was using a fake name for no real good reason.
Yep.
You know, she's Renna. this added a little bit of confusion for me, for a minute. Like, when I figured it out, I was like, oh, this is a new character.
I was very confused.
Yeah. But, you know, we find out this is either like a magical spell that is set up by Ronnie, or it is Ronnie astral projecting into Renala to protect her.
Yeah. Well, this is different. This is, you know, Renala herself is off to the side. This projection steps out In the middle there, glowing blue, you know, the visual language we have seen of these, you know, Carian forces attacking people throughout the region, right?
We fight the non-force ghost,
yes,
Renala, here in a moment, though. So that's the part where I thought maybe she's possessing or controlling her body.
Yeah,
and helping her out.
Just the blue fades, and that is the version that we fight. The semiotics of this are weird. But she steps out and is making just this incredible boast, saying, "Upon my name as Rani the Witch, mother's rich slumber shall not be disturbed by thee. Foul trespasser, send word far and wide of the last queen of Caria, Renala of the full moon, and the majesty of the night she conjureth." Not only is she trying to intimidate you, and she is incredibly powerful when you end up fighting her, I love that she is appearing as her mother, fighting in her mother's place, standing in as Renala at her full power, almost as though to continue the charade, stepping in and saying, "No, Renala is still powerful. You know, I'm kind of sparing her pride here by fighting in her place, but as her, before all of this happens." That is, it reads to me as an act of profound love.
It's very caring. Like, I love Rani and Renala's relationship.
Yeah.
You know, and I love that she would do this here. When she's, you know, again, very powerful, she looks at you, the room changes, and now we are in Ram's arena on Moonlight Lake, the beginning of a magical girl anime about Renala.
I still kind of like this.
No, I do too. It's just the it's incongruous.
Yeah. It doesn't match with the first part. Yeah.
The way that the first part of this is cool is cooler to me than this part. And I think that if we hadn't already fought Ram, I would be more impressed by this as a scene.
I can go with you on that.
Like, it felt a little bit, you know, there's a little bit too back to the bag of tricks.
Yeah.
But she literally does the, like, point at you like it is an opening credit sequence.
Yeah.
Like, she, for Bayonetta 4.
She is fighting evil by moonlight and winning love by daylight.
Yeah. So. Yeah. It's pretty crazy. Did you know that in later, my girlfriend was wearing a Sailor Moon shirt, and it came from after the time I had seen it. Did you know that there's a fucking unicorn that joins that crew?
No, that sounds horrible. Because
all the Sailor Scouts get sick. Like, they all come down with a disease, and then Chibi Moon, who was right around when I checked out, I was like, I don't need this. Like, whenever they introduce a tiny little girl to things, you know, that's usually my cue to be like, okay, I'm gonna back off a little bit. But she had to go find a magical unicorn to go deal with whatever threat, because all the Sailor Scouts were like, had the flu or something like that. Like, she explained it to me twice. I was just like, wait, fucking nuts.
It wasn't like a cosmic sickness, you know, associated with their powers or whatever. It was like literally just they were laid up. They had to go find a unicorn because their tummies hurt.
The unicorn could buy us ginger ale. I don't know. Liv hadn't seen it in a while.
Okay.
She just had a shirt about it. So she was, the way she kept saying, she's like, yeah, they got sick. I was like, wait, they got sick? And she's like, yeah, they got sick. That's very funny.
That's so weird that they're throwing on mascots, that they're throwing on a unicorn, and, you know, I think
it's already got two perfect mascots. Well, Artemis and Luna. Like,
yeah, exactly. Yeah. Luna's a perfect mascot. I love Luna.
Luna's incredible. And Artemis is great. Little nerd. Uh-huh.
Yep. Yeah, that is one of those secret things that we explored in the Advic Suffering episode when we talked about Sailor Moon. Both of us like Sailor Moon and watched it when it aired up to a point, right?
Yeah. I don't think that I for me, it probably wouldn't hold up. Like, I would get bored. No. And I remember even as a kid being a little bit bored, you know, like the season long 20 episode thing where it was, each episode was 70% just like high school drama. And then at the end, Malachite would show up.
Yeah,
you know, and just say something evil, and that'd be it. Like, that's I'm not really in the pocket for that style of storytelling anymore. But the aesthetics of it and everything are kind of burned into me as good.
And just the characters are archetypes, but still fun. You know,
yeah, very archetypes.
Yeah,
the Incredo archetypes. But it came when I was a kid, before I was sensitive to that.
Yeah, I hadn't developed, you know, the antibodies.
Like, as a kid, I was like, oh, this is good. She's the jock. You know, she's the nerd. Everything was in Breakfast Club terms, and it's one of the things that will disconnect me from anime now, is like everything being so archetypical.
Yeah,
you know, now no quality judgment. Like, I understand mm-hmm. that that's a cultural thing. I understand that's a thing people really like. For me, and I know it's not universal. I know that that's not all anime characters.
Yeah,
trying
yeah.
to couch everything before someone yells at me.
Give me two more caveats.
This is just for me. I'm only speaking for myself. And it's not based on anything objective. This is just my lived experience.
Okay, cool.
I know those kind of overlapped, but it's on the spot. But I will say that when I was young, an archetype character like that was good.
Yeah.
To me.
You know,
it's just my taste have changed.
I am 8 years old. I had outgrown Power Rangers, and I woke up at 6 a.m. one morning before school to get ready. And here's this new show on USA's early morning show block. And there you mm-hmm. go. Yeah.
Yeah. And it was appealing.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. So I'm that is where I get the baked in weakness for some of that. Like, I kind of don't mind the Bayonetta pose on this.
I don't mind it. It's just so much less cool to me than the animate library.
Yep.
Fighting you. Like, it's only contrast mm-hmm. for me that it doesn't hurt me. It doesn't do a lot for me.
Yeah.
You know, and the fight is cool. Like, I still like this.
I like this fight quite a bit. This is mechanically like a really satisfying sorcerer fight.
Yeah. We fought sorcerers before. We've done sorcery fights. Mm-hmm. They're some of my favorites
yep.
in the series, because it's not just like, what if a big dude,
mm-hmm.
I think it's a little bit dirty pool that she starts with Common Azure, which will one shot you.
Yeah, that's learning to dodge it. This is the one that people were saying is the Kamehameha, right?
Yeah.
Like, Dragon Ball cannot own the gigantic laser that is shot.
It's a laser.
Yeah.
It's but it one shots you. There's a big wind up, but you don't know what the consequence is, and you don't know the timing.
You don't know you're in danger.
Yeah, it feels like a really good, you could do a big charge up, and it could be a big laser, but it could be a bunch of little motes that fly out. It could be anything. Mm-hmm. It feels a little bit unfair, like almost like a mandatory death.
Yeah. Similar
bad with the boss run.
Yeah. It's very similar to Radahn's opening gambit in a second phase.
Yes.
Which is also an instant death. Yeah.
And you can dodge it, but everything is hard if you don't know. Like, I think that there's people who will be like, oh, it's so easy to dodge. And I don't think that they were being intentional. I mean, some of them were, but I think some of them probably were not being intentional when it first happened. They just weren't near it.
Yeah.
You know, and they're just like, oh, that I don't understand why that's a problem.
Yeah.
It's like, well, imagine you were 10 feet to the left.
Yep. And then you were obliterated for what felt like no reason. And you had to go through that first phase again,
which was very hard at the time.
Yep.
Here, the first phase at least is not hard.
Right.
The second phase, she does that Common Azure thing, very, very powerful spell, but it's kind of on a cooldown. She can't spam it. She rotates through a couple different spells.
Yeah.
There. She has homing shards that come that are slow. So there are fast and slow spells pursuing you. She has a little shattering crystal like shotgun when you get mm-hmm. close. And then my favorite thing, which is her signature attack, the full moon.
Yeah.
This is you can get this, and it's a blast. Mm-hmm. It looks really good.
Kind of summons an illusory moon around her, and then it slowly comes at you like an escape orb in The Prisoner.
Yeah. Yep. It eats magic. Mm-hmm. And it's huge. This ended up being very useful in caster fights on my sorcerer build, because I didn't use this version as much as the Ronnie version.
Yeah.
Because I'm a simp. But the throwing that at casters, because it will, the magic that it hits just eats
mm-hmm.
on the way. And the animation's really awesome.
Yep.
Like, her floating up in the air into a little tiny crate, like embryo mm-hmm. position, like a fetal position, and creating a moon. Like, it follows with all of her kind of iconography.
Yeah. It is a good attack. It's very intimidating. Not that hard to dodge once you realize you can outrun it pretty much however you want to.
Yeah.
To add to the chaos, you're not just dealing with her and her multitude of very high level spells. This is end game stuff that she's throwing at you. She is also summoning help. She can summon these ghostly versions of other enemies. The ones that I saw and made a note of, she can bring in a whole bunch of ghost wolves.
Mm-hmm.
She'll summon a ghost bloodhound to fight you, and kind of the centerpiece of this that goes back to what we know about Renala's backstory. She'll summon a ghostly troll, and she'll even say, "Oathsworn giant, come to my aid once more." And it comes in and does a few attacks and then dissipates.
the Carrion Troll Knights were bodyguards of a sort when she was young. You say the centerpiece, you did not get the ill luck of the dragon. She can also send a dragon at you.
Holy shit. Yeah.
The trick with these things is they go away on their own.
Yeah.
Like you just run from them and they'll just disappear.
They're just attacks rather than like adds to the fight. Yeah.
Well, they're like temporary adds. Mm-hmm. Like the Bloodhound will, he'll hound you for a while.
Yeah.
You know, and chase you. Cool cut content. She used to be able to, there's dialogue that has her summoning blade.
Ooh.
Through this. Just on the subject of cut content while we're talking, just dumping everything we know about Renala. There's a pretty popular fan theory thing. It's Azuli the Witch thing that I'm not as sold on. Mm-hmm. As a lot of people are, who think that this boss is reusing Rosaria. Like Rosaria is going to be a boss in Dark Souls 3.
Huh.
And these were ideas from that. And as far as I can tell, it's just they both deal with rebirth and they both have like cribs around them and little creatures around them that they had reborn. To me, that isn't enough to make that jump. But there is an interesting parallel there.
Yeah, there's more of an argument to me, you know, about if I was declaring that, I would say, oh, there's a thematic echo between them. Do we know that? Like, is there indication where their boss IDs for a Rosaria boss fight?
I think so. There's a Zuli video. It's a little bit of an older video, so I don't remember all the details.
Yeah,
and it's cut content and conjecture, so I didn't. You know, again, I'd bring it up as a curio.
Yeah.
You know, so I could watch it again and remember, but it's not, the thing I remember is it's not like slam dunk. It's not like the Red Wolf of Radagon.
Yes. Yeah. No, I would need to go watch that video in order to have a firm opinion. But to me, like, oh yeah, just the resonance between these, between these characters. Yeah.
So basically, you know, you run around her, she summons things that you outweigh, and you just have to dodge her attacks. If you have physical attacks, you can stagger her very easily.
Oh yeah.
She's not hard.
She goes down to bleed super easy.
Yeah. She will bleed. Pretty easy once you don't get one shot by Commander Xur.
Mm-hmm.
Real cool.
Yeah.
Once you, kill this illusion, she gets more dialogue. She says, "Oh, little Ronnie, my dear daughter, weave thy knight into being."
Yeah.
Passing on that torch, basically. Yeah. A moment of coherence in her sad sunset imprisonment.
Yeah. You know, saying, you know, expressing appreciation, but also support. She is behind what Renala is, or what am I thinking? No, she's behind what Ronnie is trying to do.
Yes. Yeah. Not behind it like a conspiracy way.
Behind it, support. Yeah. I'm with you. Yeah.
Yeah. You appear back in the library and Renala doesn't die. She's sitting there. We didn't kill Renala. We killed, a projection thing. Renala has been just chilling here the whole time we were on the moon. She's sitting here with her egg. She calls for the sweetings, but they're all gone.
Yeah.
She thinks that they're hiding.
There are books and lights aplenty.
Yeah. Just hang out in the library and be reborn forever. Like these things can't read. And you get the rune from her. We talked about this a little bit when we talked about renewal.
Mm-hmm.
This rune perfects those who have been born anew. Children born anew by Renala are frail and short-lived, imperfect beings, each and all. Yeah. So there's a little bit of an implication there that it's not even that you don't have the egg that makes them imperfect. It's that Renala's doing it.
Yeah.
You know, maybe her rebirther is just fucked.
Yeah, maybe.
You know? So maybe you're doing it in her presence when you come up to her and do it. You're just showing off.
God, what if this is a, we know she's not barren because she had kids, but like, just as, you know, just a way that somebody who really wants kids who can't have them might end up being obsessed, you know?
If not that kind of obsession, there's huge empty nest.
Yeah. Oh, vibes. Yeah. That's probably more likely. Yeah.
You know, like it's not somebody who's infertile. It's somebody whose kids have all grown up and is barely remembered.
It's
a very tragic story. Like Renala is incredibly sad.
Yeah. I mean, like just in very quick succession, she had everything that she had, you know, that she wanted taken away from her. Right.
Yeah.
I mean, we talked a lot in the previous episode and just generally as we were going over Liurnia and the effect that the Academy has had on it, you know, it's about what bastards they are. Them turning on her just because she ended up being heartbroken by this and saying, okay, we need to reorganize the entire, we need to reorganize this entire region because she is not the, you know, she is not the champion after all, right? Just throwing her to the curb when she had built all of this at the same time that she had lost her husband and, you know, kind of concurrently, as at least one of her kids ended up being one of the worst people in this.
Yeah, kind of a shit. You know? I think there's a little bit of sympathy for Rikard, like that I can have. We'll talk about that when we get there.
Yeah, yeah.
Like, Rikard's kind of a shit, but I also think that, like, the Volcano family is not unvirtuous
in some ways,
right?
Yeah.
But they don't stay in touch.
No.
Like, Ronnie is obviously her mother's daughter.
Yeah.
Radahn doesn't visit.
Yeah,
they participate in the Shattering. Like, the shit, they were warring.
Mm-hmm.
You know, while their mom was locked up.
Yeah.
Here. It's just, it's very sad. It's very prepare to cry. You know, and we don't know, you know, we talked about how the academy is really shitty. We know she was the head mistress. It's one of those timeline things. So we don't know how much of that she's responsible for.
Right, right.
It kind of doesn't matter, though, because she's so pathetic now that she elicits a lot of pathos.
Yes.
You know, so even if she was responsible for that, she is diminished.
Yes.
She's a shadow. This is what people wanted me to feel with Ishan a little bit, like the former, like something that was glorious that is now diminished.
Mm-hmm.
I didn't get that from that because it's about a warrior and it's not that, and the story is not that interesting. This thing that is about divorce and child abandonment and being betrayed by this institution you built, this is all much more resonant stuff to me.
Mm-hmm.
So just lovely.
Yeah.
Absolutely love it. You get her remembrance and we learn, you know, she used to be a champion. She charmed the academy with her lunar magic. Like, I love just all these star nerds and be like, hey guys, what about moon? And they're like, holy shit. It became their master, led the Glenstone Knights, established the House of Karya as royalty, did a lot for this region. And, you can get two things from this. Since I had done the, a sorcery playthrough on my second playthrough, I ended up copying this to get both. What a good system.
Yep.
You know, because I wanted to use the scepter and I wanted this awesome full moon spell.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. But, you know, the full moon, like we said, it gives you the version that he gets all the magic. We'll do some dispels, which is nice. And it talks about her. Oh, she encountered this enchanting moon when she was young. And this is what she used to kind of like impress the academy and her way in. Right. This was her master's thesis.
Yeah. Yeah. Well, and it passed on to her daughter. Like when we find Ronnie and we find Ronnie's full moon, you know, they talk about how Renala encountered this moon and Ronnie got the moon from her mother.
Yeah.
Ronnie also has like a surrogate mother in the Snow Witch, which is a character we don't know very much about.
Yeah.
Which we'll talk about kind of later. Maybe there's something I'm missing there. I have not been able to find tons.
Yeah.
About that. But this lineage is very strong.
Yeah. And the scepter is just a cool weapon.
Yeah. If you use high intelligence, it's very powerful. If you have very high intelligence, it boosts full moon sorceries, so which are two.
Yep.
But it does boost them quite a bit.
Mm-hmm.
You can buy her gear. You can buy her silly hat, which I wore for the whole game.
You see a lot of phantoms running around with that. That's a very popular Fashion Souls thing.
I think it's large. I think part of it's stat wise
because
it gives you the intelligence boost without the downside.
Mm-hmm.
But she hangs out. She hangs out in this room. We can teleport here. A Sight of Grace shows up. If we bring her larval tears, we can use the rune and the larval tear and Renala to respec.
Yes.
Change our appearance if we want to, change our stats, do all that stuff. I did it a lot.
Yep.
In this game, it's very generous with those.
Mm-hmm.
And tantalizingly, what we're going to leave on is there is a chest against the wall that is locked. I was like, man, where the fuck's that key? I missed it. Clearly it's in Rhea Lucaria. It's not.
No.
It is part of that lineage and part of that family line.
Yeah. So we're going to open that much, much later when we figure out what Ronnie's whole deal is.
Yeah.
We're going to begin that series of events as our next kind of full episode. However, the next episode is going to be our next roundtable, talking to Open Mike Eagle, reading responses from Dylan and Dave from from New Blood, the publisher behind Gloomwood, behind Dusk, two games that big thumbs up. And then reading your responses. By the time you hear this, the call for response is already out. You'll see the deadline on that there. Write in, if you will, in a comment on that post on Patreon. If you have thoughts about Lyurnia, Lyrnia specifically. Try not to put in grand sweeping. This is my review of Elden Ring stuff.
Yeah. Yeah. Real happy to be past the spoiler. Well, that doesn't mean we're going to immediately, you know, just start going into the end game stuff. It's just going to be when it's appropriate.
Yeah.
But it is going to happen. And I'm very excited about the kind of miniature legacy dungeon we're heading up towards.
Mm-hmm.
I love the Carrion Royal Manor.
Hope you're ready level. For hands.
It's jazz hands. It's so good. Jeremy sent me a text.
Ooh.
When we were both playing it, and he was just like, I just got to an area you're gonna fucking love, because that's, you know, again, my shit.
Yeah.
So yeah, and that's gonna be it.
Mm-hmm. Thank you so much for your support.
Yeah, we appreciate your support. We appreciate you listening. You have access to a bunch of our stuff. You should check it out.
Please do.
Yeah. You might like it. And you can tell your friends, tell people about it. All those things are generally good, but you've already done the most important thing, which is support us.
Yep. So we'll be back next week with that listener response episode, and then onward to Caria Manor and the kind of the beginnings of Ronnie's questline.
Yes. Umbasa.
Umbasa.
And we all pray that we will have far more soon.